All right, we're a global family, but we've got physical locations in New Jersey. Help me welcome in our New Jersey family, everybody. What's up, Jersey? Hey, we're in a series called I'm Looking for Something. And today I want to read a couple of verses of scripture found in the book of Matthew, chapter 17, beginning at verse 19. And it says this: Then the disciples came to Jesus and Jesus privately, and said, Why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, Move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. In part two of this series called I'm Looking for Something, every location, Atlanta, New Jersey, online, every location, here's what we're looking for this week. I'm looking for a breakthrough. Clap your hands if you're ready for God's word. Everybody, I'm looking for a breakthrough. Family, it has been said and suggested that everybody is vacillating between the reality of two gods. The God in their head and the God of the Bible. And there are instances where those gods are the same. And there are times when those gods are not. And the lack of this revelation is the cause for a lot of frustration with people as it relates to their expectations of God. Because sometimes people find themselves in situations and seasons where they are disappointed with God. Come on, let's be honest. I said, let's be honest, family. Disappointed with God. Upset with God. Frustrated with God. Let's go here. Even angry with God. But all of these emotions are fruit of frustration, and all frustration is the evidence of a failed expectation. You're frustrated when you watch this, when you have an expectation that's not met. And the question is, are we upset about God not being or not doing what he never promised to be? And what he never promised to do. This is why we must always take the God in our head and put him through the filter of the God of the Bible. Because this is the only way we can have realistic expectations. And when we have realistic expectations, it minimizes our frustration. And in order for God to help align our expectations, he strategically tries to inform us about who he is. How does he do it, Pastor? Well, in the Old Testament, he does it by giving us different names. He says, I'm going to give you names because the names reveal my nature. That's who I am. And what you can expect me to do. So he uses people like Abraham to introduce us to a name. That's an indication of what you can expect him to do. Abraham called him Jehovah Jireh. Come on here. That means God or the Lord will provide. Somebody say, he will. No. Say it like you mean it. Say, he will. It means, watch this, because it's his name, it's his nature. Because it's his nature, you have a right to expect him to be who he said he would be, which means he can't help but do what he said he would do. He is a provider, so he can't help but to provide. He's anxious to provide. He's itching to provide. He refuses to be in a situation where he can't provide. So he will take not enough and turn not enough into more than enough, because I'm a provider. Did you hear what I just said? And we see instances throughout scripture where he demonstrates his ability to provide. When in the Old Testament, Israel gets to a place where they need water and they can find no drinkable water, he uses a man named Moses to get water to come out of a rock. I didn't even know water was in a rock. I thought when it rained, water just rolled off a rock. Some water rolls off. Some water's absorbed in. And there's some stuff in some stuff you can't see. But God knows how to pull it out. Is there anybody that can agree with this? Because when you look at your life, you see he pulled some stuff out of me. Pastor, I didn't know some things were on the inside of me until God pulled it out. And if he hadn't, let me boldly and biblically make this prophetic declaration. He's getting ready to pull something out of you. He's getting ready to introduce you to a version of you that you hadn't met yet. Abram is going to meet Abraham. Sarai is going to meet Sarah. Jacob is going to meet Israel exceedingly and abundantly. He gives us a name to reveal his nature. Make sense? Yes, Abraham called him Jireh. In one place in Exodus, Israel's fighting a battle that they should not win. I know we all have experiences where we lost some places we should have won. I'm trying to find the honest church today. I said I'm trying to find the honest church that will say, I lost some places I should have won. But if I'm going to be fair, Pastor, if I'm going to be honest, I won some places I should have lost. So instead of having a pity party about losing some places I should have won, I need to learn how to have a praise party, because I won some places I should have lost. I feel a little prophetic today. And I want to biblically and prophetically announce to somebody, you're getting ready to win where you thought you were going to lose. Now take 8 seconds and put a praise on that. You didn't receive it. You didn't receive it. You think I'm just filling space. You think I don't have anything else to say. I got interrupted with a word from God. You are getting ready to win where you thought you were gonna lose. I'm gonna give you one more chance. Now praise them if you receive that. At that place they called him Jehovah Nissi. The Lord who raises my banner in victory. The one who helps me win where I should have lost. Well, I don't know how I'm winning. I don't know how I'm still standing. I don't know how I am where I am. I can't explain how I have what I have. But Jehovah Nissi fights for me. There are a number of names, but there's one I want to talk about today. This one is extremely important, but it's so often overlooked. It's a name that we see in 1 Chronicles 14:11 that describes God's nature, that reveals what we can expect him to do. What's the name, Pastor? It's in 1 Chronicles 14:11. It says, so David and his men went up to Baal Perazim. There he defeated them. He said, as waters break out, God has broken out against my enemies by my hand. So that place was called Baal Perazim. And the reason there's no celebration right now is because I need to give you an explanation of what Baal Perazim means. Now, when I give you this explanation, there should be some celebration, because if this is who God is, this is what you can expect him to do. Now, are you ready for the explanation? I said, are you ready for the explanation? Here it is. Baal Perazim means Lord of the breakthrough. Y'all aren't talking to me. I said Baal Perazim means Lord of the breakthrough. I thought that explanation was going to produce a little more celebration. Maybe you don't need one. Maybe you've never been in a situation where you felt stuck. Maybe you've never been in a season where you felt stalled. If that's you, this aspect of God might not excite you. But for the rest of us, every now and then we need a breakthrough. Okay, that wasn't quite the celebration. So maybe I need to give you another explanation. And maybe this explanation needs to be regarding what a breakthrough is, so that we all on the same page about what I mean when I say breakthrough. Here it is. I'm going to see this for my shouters right here. We all got spiritual temperaments, all right? So we got a little bit of everything in here. We Noah's Ark. We got some reflective and some cognitive and some contemplative and some activists. And we got some runners, some jumpers, some shouters, some leapers. So we got everything in here. Here it is. A breakthrough, let me see if you can handle this, is a sudden. If you don't need anything done quick, be quiet. But if you need God, and suddenly, it's a sudden, come on here, not just sudden, dramatic. It means you end up way different on the back end than you, what God's getting ready to do in your life is going to be dramatic. It's going to be radical. It's going to be revolutionary. Sudden, dramatic advancement. I'm getting ready to advance. I said, I'm getting ready to advance. Or development. God say, I'm either going to advance it or I'm gonna advance you. Either way, you win. So David calls him Lord of a sudden, dramatic advancement or development. A sudden, dramatic advancement or development. A sudden, dramatic advancement or development. Keep watching me in 2024, and what you're going to see is a sudden, dramatic advancement. Take about 19 seconds and praise him for a breakthrough. Breakthrough in my mind, breakthrough in my home, breakthrough on my job, breakthrough in my resources. Start it. He's the Lord of that. He's Lord over it. He's God of it. He can direct it wherever he chooses. Breakthrough goes where he sends it. And I need somebody, come on now. This, oh my, I don't know why I feel this today. And I need somebody who will to engage in a prophetic gesture and say, send it over here. Send it over. Right here in this section, right here on this row. I need it. Woo. Y'all sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down. I got 5 minutes. Let me wrap this up here. This is important. This is important. I'm trying to get this out. Holy Spirit spoke to me over this week. He said, Darius, I told you to change the bottle, not the perfume. Good God Almighty. He said, I want you to take this same continuationist, charismatic, Pentecostal power, and I want you to put it in a missional container. Do not dilute the perfume. Just change the bottle. Here it is. He's Lord of the breakthrough. He's God of breakthroughs. He promises breakthrough, but his promises, listen to this, are possessed when we work principles. Principles are the path to the promises. Got me? Okay, so if he promises Philippians 4, peace that passes all understanding. He also gives you the path, which is the principle, that leads you to that peace that surpasses all understanding. Don't you mess with me. Come on. Pastor, what's the principle? In Philippians 4, he says, if you want peace that passes all understanding, he says, whatever is good, whatever is lovely, whatever is praiseworthy, come on, whatever is good, think on these things. And when you think on these things, then the peace of God that passes all understanding will rule your heart. So I can't say he didn't deliver on his promise of peace if I didn't follow the path. So, Pastor, what does it have to do with breakthrough? He promises breakthrough, but he gives a principle. Where's the principle? It's in the text. The principle that is the path to sudden, dramatic advancement or development. How many want that? Okay. All right. He not only gives us the want to for it, the revelation of it, he gives us the way to it. He said, this is how you get it. It's in the text. Text exposes us to an individual, a father, who has a son who's dealing with seizures. Now, these seizures are not biological. They're spiritual warfare. So you can have the same struggle and we can have two different sources. Sometimes life, and then sometimes the devil's busy. And I need discernment. Come on here. I can't rebuke life, but I can rebuke the devil. Am I making sense? So it's similar struggle, but different. So they bring the boy to Jesus, and Jesus say, they bring the boy to Jesus' team, the father does, and the disciples couldn't address it. So they bring him to Jesus. Jesus performs an exorcism, sets the boy free. I love what the disciples do, and they do what most people don't, because most people don't know how to maximize mentorship. I'm so tired of people praying for mentors that they don't maximize. Wait a minute. Did you hear what I just said? Watch what happens. The text says, when they left privately, They come to Jesus. Say, now how you do that? They could have just been intellectually lazy and say, well, you know, that's just God. Or they could have just been in awe and in admiration and didn't do any investigation so they could get education. They went privately and say, well, you just did that. How you do that? Why couldn't we do it? Y'all, I got to go. They missed it, Tyre. The fact that they asked, why couldn't we do it? I love these men. It's an indication that they believed they should have been able to. So they're not trying to be impressive. They're trying to be educated. They're taking the initiative to get what they need. Your next level, I don't know. Your next level is going to require some initiative. Come on. New Jersey, I told you this at Fire Night on this past Wednesday. In this Seek season, God's going to anoint your try. Some of your problem is your try is too weak. Your try is too fragile. And when you try and it doesn't work, you stop trying. But God is about to resurrect your try. Somebody shall try it. I got to go. Here it is. They say, how could we couldn't do it? And Jesus has a conversation with them about faith. And then the conversation about faith leads to fasting. He said, because of your unbelief. And he says, if you got faith, you don't need big faith. You just need high quality faith. High quality faith that's the size of a mustard seed will not only move a mountain, read the text, it'll tell it where to go. The text says, your faith will look at a mountain and say, you go from here to there. Watch this. Don't miss this, family. Don't miss this. Watch the text. And then he says, these kind. Only come out by fasting and prayer. He's giving a principle. That's a path to a breakthrough. This young man had a sudden, dramatic advancement or development. But Jesus said that was only possible, disciples, not because I know something you don't know. I'm doing something you're not doing. You asking me why you couldn't do what I did in private, in public, is because you're not doing what I did in private. Come on here. He fasted. And so the reason we fasting in this Seek season is because this fasting is going to bring us into sudden, dramatic advancement or development. You see, I want you to see how he connects fasting to faith, because fasting is an expression of faith. You see, fasting is what's called a means of grace. It's a spiritual discipline. So there's these certain exercises or practices that God picks that he will use to bless his people. We don't pick what he uses. He picks what he uses. And some of the stuff he uses, to the natural mind, the Apostle Paul said, is foolish. Yeah, that's what he said. He says, it's foolish. It confounds the wise. So God will pick something like fasting. He said, you turn your plate down from Skittles. I'll do something in your life that has nothing to do with candy. Because I've chosen to use that. Are you here? So some of us are trying to make sense out of something that is beyond our reasoning. Prayer, it's a means of grace. It's like, so you mean I'm talking to somebody I can't see who don't always tell me he hear me when I'm talking. But God said, that's what I've chosen to use. And when I reveal to you what I've chosen to use and you use it, you are working your faith. Faith without works. So when you fast, that is the equivalent of Naaman dipping in the Jordan seven times. Naaman's like, I got leprosy. I want to be clean, but you're telling me to go dip in some dirty water. It don't make sense. But the Father doesn't want it to make sense. It needs to make faith. They got a breakthrough because of this principle called fasting. And when this is done in faith, when it's done biblically, here's what it is. It is a deliberate abstinence from any form of gratification to achieve a greater spiritual goal. So whatever gratifies you and you deliberately abstain from that, that qualifies as fasting. It's not just food. I can take you to the New Testament where Paul says people in marriage at times chose to fast from intimacy. So it's any form of gratification to achieve a greater spiritual goal. It's you saying, my hunger for breakthrough is greater than my hunger for this. And in this Sikh season, I want you to be reminded that God is Lord. Oop, I'm late. It's going to be a season of breakthrough. Let me speak this over you. I want you to receive this prophetically. Pastor, breakthrough where? Somebody's going to receive, number one, a breakthrough in clarity. Because in Daniel chapter 10, that's what fasting brought him. There were some areas he needed clarity. And on the fast, God gave it to him. Clarity's coming. Somebody that needs to say, I receive it. Here it is. Number two, a breakthrough in liberty. Where there were habits and patterns, thinking patterns, relational patterns that you have not been able to break. In Sikh season, liberty's coming. Somebody say, I receive it. Okay, number three, a breakthrough in ability. Just like with Esther, the fast is going to enable you to experience the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit in a new way where you're able to do what you couldn't do before. I hear that. Somebody say, I receive that. Yep, that is for somebody. I hear you in the spirit who's been saying in this last season, I can't do this. I can't take anymore. I can't carry anymore. In this Sikh season, God's about to give you the ability. We gotta go. Number four, a breakthrough in opportunity. This is going to be the season where you see reversals of decisions. Hallelujah. I said, this is the season where no's are going to turn into yeses. God is going to swing doors open as we turn our plate down. We got to go. Lift those hands, everybody. Raise it.
Lord of the breakthrough,
hey.
Lord of the breakthrough, you are the Lord of the breakthrough. We worship you, we worship you.
Come on, church, lift those hands.
Lord of the breakthrough,
sing it like you believe it.
Lord of the breakthrough,
come on, declare.
You are the Lord of the breakthrough. We worship you.
So, Father, I pray right now for every person online, every person in this room, every person at every location. I pray for breakthroughs as we fast during this seek season, not only would you look up on our fast, look on our faith. We are working our faith through our fast. In Jesus' name, amen.